Well, if you would take your Bibles this morning and go to Psalm 91. Today's Sunday, May the 21st, 2023. We're going to look into God's Word this morning. We're going to look at God's help and protection. And we will see a little imagery as God communicates that way at times. Sometimes God likes to paint a picture for us. God does not use words in His Word haphazardly. He told holy men of God what to write. So, Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word dwelleth means to sit down, not just pop in. Sit down. He that dwelleth. And then it says in the secret place. That's a hiding place. And a hiding place is something that's separate, where you separate yourself. It's a secret, quiet place where you don't have all the distractions. He who sits down in the secret hiding place of the Most High. Well, where is that? So we can go sit there. Keep your finger here and go to Psalm 32. You might be thinking a couple of weeks ago when we looked at Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think we know where this secret hiding place is, but Psalm 32, verse 7, you, God, are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. We find our deliverance from God. It's not in a building, but in the very presence of God Himself. You may be familiar with Ephesians 2:18. It says, for through Him, Christ, through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. God is in you. God is in me. God is in us by way of the Spirit, His Spirit, that He put in us. And so when we pray, we are in the presence of God. So back to Psalm 91, verse 1 again. Psalm 91. He that sits down in the secret place, the hiding place, separate from those around you, of the Most High, shall abide. And abide, you might even have it in your center reference, means to lodge. You're all sitting in my lodging, but y'all don't lodge here. See the difference? Shall lodge. And then it says, under the shadow. And that is literally the defense and protections of the Almighty. And if you know some of the names for God in the Bible, that, bless you, that's El Shaddai, Almighty. God who is almighty in power and unlimited in resources to supply our needs. We are under His shadow, under His defense and protection. We're coming right back, we go to Psalm 57. What a verse this is. Just the first verse. We could read this verse and then go home. Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusts in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I'm going to make my refuge there with God until these calamities pass. So until they pass, we put our trust in our wonderful God. Back to Psalm 91, verse 1 again. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth, sits down in the secret place of the Most High, shall lodge under the shadow of the Almighty. And this is our choice. We choose to sit down and lodge in the presence of the Almighty. We choose to get quiet with God. We choose to pray. We choose to pour our hearts out to God. We choose to get away from things and just be with our God. And then, verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Because of my lodging in His presence, I will say, or I can say, or I will declare that God is my refuge. Refuge is shelter. God's my shelter, and not only that, He's my fortress. Now that's pretty big, right? A fortress. Fortress means a stronghold for defense. And then it says, in Him will I trust. I can put my confidence in God without worry or doubt or fear. So it's a progression here in verse 1. I'm going to dwell. I'm going to go hang out with God, pray with God, keep His thoughts in my head. And as a result of that, then I'll just declare, yeah, He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my stronghold. My God, in Him will I trust. And verse 3, here's what I'm trusting. Surely, surely, absolutely, He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Surely He shall deliver. That word deliver is to snatch out from the snare. And snare, as you know, they're traps for birds or little animals. God's word says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Surely God shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. That's the one who sets the traps or the snares. We know where that crap comes from, right? Surely God shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Surely He shall snatch you out from the snare of the fowler, the one who sets the snare, and it says from the noisome pestilence. Noisome means destructive, and pestilence is plague. And plague is something that affects your body. He shall deliver you. He shall snatch you out from the trap of the one setting the traps and snatch you out from the destructive plague. What a promise. God said this. You know, it's not like wishful thinking. Boy, it would be great if this would happen. God said, I'll make it happen. God will deliver from the traps and from those setting the traps and from the destructive plague. What a promise. So, verse 3 starts with what God will do because of the end of verse 2, putting all of your trust in Him, which is based on verse 1, our decision to dwell, our decision to lodge in His presence. We pray lots, we keep His thoughts in our minds, we lodge, we stay put under the shadow, the defense and protection of God Almighty. And in doing that, then in verse 2, we recognize and declare that the Lord, He is my refuge. He's my shelter and protection from danger. He's my fortress, my stronghold for defense. In Him will I trust. In Him will I put my confidence without worries, doubts, or fears. And then, verse 3, because of our trust in God, surely He shall deliver you from the traps of the one setting the traps and from the destroying plague. Aren't those three just marvelous verses? So, how's He going to do all that? Well, verse 4 says, He shall cover thee with His feathers and wings. Here comes the imagery, right? He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. God does not have feathers or wings. God is a spirit. It's figurative, and God's painting a picture for us. Look how loving God is to want to communicate to us. All right, let me draw you a picture. Has anybody ever done? Let me draw you a picture. I'll draw you a map. God is so loving to paint a picture for us, to show us his protection. God will cover us with his feathers. In Psalm 17, it says, keep me as the apple of thy eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. In Psalm 36, it says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And here in verse 4, where it says, under his wings we shall trust is better translated, flee for refuge. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings we shall flee for refuge. It also says here in verse 4, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know what a shield is, right? Everybody knows what a shield is. We've all seen shields. But buckler is fortress again. He's not only our shield, but he's our fortress. And it says, his truth shall be our shield and our fortress. This reminds me of Ephesians 6, where God says, put on the whole armor of God. And the reason we put on the whole armor of God is because God's word says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness on high. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. You can't escape it. No place you can go where, okay, now I'm not going to ever... We're in a spiritual battle. So God in Ephesians says, put on the whole armor of God. And then he mentions that our loins should be girt about with, anybody remember? Truth. Loins, that part of the body is where your strength comes from. Put on the loins of truth. Then it says the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate covers the heart. And in our heart, we believe and know that it says the breastplate of righteousness. We know and believe in our heart that we are righteous before God. We're righteous in his eyes because he made us righteous. And then it says our feet, this is kind of cool, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And you never go anywhere that your feet don't go along with you, right? Wherever we go, we carry God's word with us. Whether we go to the store or whether we go to the doctor, we carry the truth of God's word in our hearts. And then in Ephesians, it says, taking the shield of believing. Believing what? Believing God's word. The right believing of God's word. And God says in Ephesians that shield of believing is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And then it says, take the helmet of salvation. That goes on your head. That's where your thoughts are. The helmet of salvation. We have salvation and redemption. Those are good thoughts to have in our head. And with that, all the rights and the privileges and the abilities that God has given us as saved ones. The helmet of salvation. And then it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the last thing listed in that is, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto. We pray in the Spirit. Speaking in tongues is part of that wonderful armor. And so here in verse 4 of Psalm 91, he shall cover you with his feathers. What a great picture. And under his wings you shall flee for refuge. His truth, that's our shield and fortress. His truth, his words. Not what everybody else is saying, but his words is our shield and our fortress. And we have the choice to believe those words or not. So, and again, we choose to lodge with him, to confide with him, to flee to him, to seek his refuge, to dwell with him, to abide with him, to trust in him, to trust his words. And that the words we're reading are what he said. And they're good words, aren't they? So we go on, verse 5. You shall not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Terror is something you mentally dread. And it says night because it's dark and you can't see it. Because of his protection and because of his truth, because his truth is our shield and our fortress, we're not afraid of something we cannot see. We don't have terror over something we can't even see. And then it says, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Well, if it's in the daytime, we can see it, right? Those you can see in the daytime. Well, we're not afraid of those either. It says you shall not be afraid of those. Verse 6, and something else we're not going to be afraid of. Nor for the pestilence. There's plague again. Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness. Again, what you can't see, it's in darkness. We're not afraid of getting a plague or a sickness. Nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. We're not afraid of the destruction at noonday. Again, that's something you could see. That's something you could hear. God does not want us to be afraid. Why? Because we're dwelling with him. We're trusting in him. We are absolutely confident in his words to be our shield and our fortress. Man, this psalm is just, it's powerful. Verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. He's talking about odds, percentages. You hear all this. Doesn't matter when God's protecting and helping us. Only with thine eyes shall thy behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. That's where we hang out. There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Man, that God had this written, and it's his words. It's not like, wow, that'd be neat. It is neat. Because God said it, and God's word is true. And you know what's interesting? This is what the devil quoted at Jesus Christ during the temptations. What did he say first? Jesus had fasted for a long time, and the first thing the devil said, well, you must be pretty hungry. I bet if you really were the Son of God, you could make those stones turn to bread, have a little food. And Jesus Christ answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And one of the temptations, the devil said to him, well, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you throw yourself off the cliff? Because it is written. And then the devil quotes the Bible. Isn't that interesting? And this is what he quoted. Oh, he'll give his angels charge over thee, so you won't... Isn't that something? And what was Jesus Christ's answer? Oh, guess I will. Jesus Christ says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And that would be tempting God to jump off of a cliff. Sometimes you hear believers talk about, well, you don't need to worry about anything. That's right, I'm a believer and, you know, nothing will ever happen to me because I'm a believer. You know, I don't have to worry about when I go to the ocean and there's riptides. Not me, I'm a believer. I don't have to worry if there's a shark warning out there. I'm a believer. I can eat cookies and soda all day, every day. That's my diet. I don't have to worry. That's tempting God, right? That's tempting God. And, you know, it's kind of funny because the devil quoted this, but he didn't bother to quote the next verse, verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. I wonder why he didn't want to quote that part. We know from Genesis 3:15, the very first mention of a Savior, the seed of the woman, where it says, he will bruise your heel, but you will crush his head. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, has defeated the devil. God's word says we've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been delivered from the fear of death. And our Lord's coming back one day because God raised him from the dead, and God said he is coming back. What a great day. And so we as born-again ones, we are sons of God. He is our Father, and he is our God. And let's read the last three verses of this wonderful psalm. Verse 14. because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Oh my goodness. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a great, loving, kind God. And all of this starts with verses 1 and 2 that we read. We'll read them again in just a minute, but I wanted to show you three other places. Psalm 27. This is the God we love and worship. And yes, we're reading in the Old Testament, but God does not change. God doesn't change. He's the same God that he was in the Old Testament. And we have much greater benefit now as being born again ones. In the Old Testament, the relationship was he was their God, they were his people. In our administration, since the wonderful day of Pentecost, no wonder we want to celebrate Pentecost, because ever since Pentecost, he's not only our God because of his choice, but we are his children. He's our Father. And in Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Sure, we ask questions when we pray, don't we? Look at this verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Psalm 31. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. We're in Psalm 31, verse 2. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Show me the way. What should I do? Where should I go? God, help me. Lead me. Guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for you are my strength. Ever felt like you're out of strength? God is your strength. And Psalm 61, before we go back to where we started. Psalm 61. These are some pretty powerful verses we're reading today. It's like they're huge. It's like they should be in 26 font, in bold. And it's God's word. Psalm 61, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For you, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years. as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Look at verses 3 and 4 again. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. You know, for David, it was about as real as it gets. You remember when he was public enemy number one, the king, and 300 or however many of the king's chosen were chasing him all over the place to kill him? It was pretty rough for him. It was pretty rough for the Apostle Paul as well. We all go, you know, in life, we all want to live a life that's free from hassles, right? Be nice to live with no problems, no hurtful things coming our way, no tragedies, no sicknesses. Well, there's a day coming when all the crap will be over with. We know that. But until then, it hadn't happened yet. Until then, in difficult times, we endure. We stay the course. We fight the good fight. And we know what to do. To pray lots, to keep his words in our heart, to believe his words and absolutely trust what he said. That's how David endured. That's how Paul endured. And when you think about endurance, endurance in difficult times is not the absence of trouble, but rather it's finding safety, rest, and peace right in the middle of it. A couple weeks ago, we read in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, even in the most difficult of times, we're going to go back to Psalm 91 here. You know, when you take shelter in a storm, the shelter does not lessen the intensity of the storm, does it? When you get into a shelter, the rain doesn't stop, because you're in a shelter. It doesn't stop the thunder or keep the rain from falling. The shelter just provides a place of safety, of peace, so that you don't have to be afraid. And even when the storm continues to swirl and you're still safe, you're protected. Okay, let the storm go. It's like that verse we read, until these calamities be over with. God says in his word, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. How do you stay your mind on God? Is by thinking what he said. Not what the circumstances say, not what everybody else says, but what did God say? And it's not automatic, darn it. But you wish it was, and you wish just flip a switch. There we go. His peace comes from keeping our mind stayed on his word. And so, in Psalm 91, we read some great help and protection from God, from the traps of the one trapping, from the destroying plague, from the terror that we can't see but might imagine, from the arrows or harm that we can see, from plagues we can't see, from destruction we can see, even if thousands fall by our side, meaning protecting us from the odds or the percentages. And that really about covers it, doesn't it? Traps, disease, mental conflict, personal harm, destruction, odds. God protects and God delivers. His promises are true and very real. He is a very present help in time of need. So Psalm 91, let's just read the first three verses again. He or she, anyone, that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And from choosing to do that, next verse, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And in doing that, having that trust and confidence, then verse 3, surely, absolutely, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Surely he will snatch you out from the traps of the one setting the traps and from the destroying plague. You might want to just look at these two verses sometime and just spend a little time camping out there and putting them into your heart and mind, because that's our part. That's how we get under the wings of protection and stay there. That's how we access God's shelter and protection. And God's protection and God's deliverance, that's how we access it. And that's how we keep from being afraid. And that's how we can endure and trust God. And before I pray, I'd like to play a song.
You think you can't, you don't feel equal to it. Can't seem to find the strength to do it. You're tired of trying on your own and feeling like you're all alone. Demands are made, time runs out. You're in a hurry, you're starting to doubt. But stop, time to take a breath and say, I will walk with God today. Put your trust in. Trust in God. You can go to Him, cast your care on Him, for He cares for you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Put your trust in. Cast your care on Him, for He cares for you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Put your trust in.
Let's pray. Almighty God, our gracious, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your great love that You have for us in communicating Your power your love, your deliverance, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you for all that we have available to us because of your great plan of salvation and redemption, and your so loving the world that you gave your only begotten Son so that we could have eternal life. Thank you, Father, that we can put all of our trust in you by putting our trust in your words, that which you have communicated to us through the written word, and Father, by way of the Spirit that's in us. Thank you, God, for your continued watchful care on each and every one of us. Father, may we just put all of our trust in your words, knowing that they are true and knowing that you back up your word. I pray for everyone here today, for those on the hookup as well. I pray, Father, for those who couldn't make it. I pray, God, for the healing for Kathy, for the deliverance that she needs. And I pray, Father, that we can have a wonderful week ahead, hiding out with you, and also, Father, walking in our day-by-day lives, trusting you each and every day. And I thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.